Welcome, everybody, to the first installment of Credit to the Girls. You're joined by Lucy Watkin and Sarah Black. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Lucy.
How excited are you?
I'm pretty excited. Actually, I've had quite a few people ask me in the last few days, you know, oh, you've got this new podcast coming out. When's the first episode? Well, here it is. We're actually recording it.
Exactly. We're here recording it. And I have to say I'm very pumped up too, because sort of the same thing as well. People being very excited to sort of hear what we have to say, which is, I don't know, it's kind of an interesting concept to me.
It's a little bit daunting, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it is a bit daunting, but we thought we would just start off by sort of, you know, saying a bit about who we are, because you may not know who we are, and sort of, you know, how we met, which I think is it's a pretty good story, I would say. But me and Sarah both went to high school in Camberwell, Siena College, which famous alumni,
Susan Alberti,
the one and only Susan Alberti, also went to Siena College. She now has an auditorium named after her.
At the school, that is correct.
So every time I go there, I'm like, oh, I went to the right school. Like, you know, no matter how I felt about it the years that I was there, now I'm like, if Susan Alberti went there, then I can put my hand up and say I went to the same school as Susan Alberti. So amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say we were friendly in high school, weren't we?
Yeah, definitely. We played in a few sport teams together. Lucy was definitely the girl you wanted on your team if you wanted to win. I was the enthusiastic, not so skilled, knew all the theory, couldn't quite produce it on the day, sort of team player, I think it's fair to say.
But, you know, you always need those people on your team. You need the people that are pumped up and want to work hard. So good balance.
Yeah, that put their hand up and go, yes, I won't play in the indoor cricket grand final. I'll be the one to sit out for the good of the team.
For the good of the team. No, but yeah, we played a lot of sport together.
Yeah.
Then after high school, we did the same uni course at Melbourne Uni, Arts.
Arts at Melbourne, which has like an enrolment rate of about 2,000. So we didn't really see each other ever.
No, didn't really see each other ever. But we've managed to somehow find our way back together due to this wonderful new thing called the AFL Women's.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, it's a very, very small world.
It is a very small world. And I would go as far to say that the AFL Women's has changed my life. And I feel like you may say the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's become part of, like, it's become my job, really, which is incredibly exciting. I write for the AFL website, mostly covering AFL Women's. So whether that be draft, under-18s, MRP, Rising Star, matches, whatever, I do a lot of that sort of stuff. And it's been really exciting to cover a competition from the ground up.
Yeah, it has. And I've obviously read all of your work and watched you from afar, and it was amazing to see something I knew and went to school with, like, just killing it in that area. And I obviously was involved last season as well with the Carlton AFLW team. So I was there every training, every game, writing stories about them for the website, and just since then have continued to try my best at covering the AFLW. So whether I was here at CN on the sports desk or joining you for the draft at AFL Women's and stuff, but I think it's fair to say that we have a pretty good knowledge base. Like, everyone can sort of rest easy in questioning our credentials, I think.
Yeah, but at the same time, pull us up if we do make mistakes, because we are human.
Exactly. Please do. And if you have any kind of opinion other than ours, want to set something straight, want to ask us a question, we are on Twitter, Credit to the Girls, and also on the Facebook. So always follow us, chuck us a like, you'll get all of the new news about the podcast on there as well. And just for the record, to clear it straight, we reckon every episode will come out on a Thursday.
Yes, yeah, that is a possibility of changing, because we just spent a good 10 minutes trying to work out when in our schedules we're free, and between the two of us we have footy training pretty much every single night of the week.
Yep, every night of the week.
So, yeah, it could be a little bit hairy, but we're aiming for a Thursday.
Aiming for a Thursday where you'll get a good recap and a good preview of what's been happening during the season and beyond. So we look forward to you joining us for the entirety of the AFL season, maybe a little bit afterwards to AFLW season, to look towards the future. But for this first episode, we're going to dive straight in to 14 previews. Yep. And we have two very special guests, one of whom we just got off the phone to, which was Ebony Marinoff.
Yep, Rising Star winner from last year and leading tackler for the competition last year.
By a mile as well, may I ask.
At the tender age of 18.
Tender age of 18. So we had a great chat with her, and we are also going to speak to Emma Swanson about the GWS Giants. But before we get into that, we're going to preview the Melbourne Demons and, of course, Marinoff's team, the Adelaide Crows. So we've sort of broken this down for the season previews. We've got, we're going to label each team's strengths, weaknesses, who we believe the best youngster or best young player of the team is, their best new recruit, and, you know, sort of what we want to see this season from the team. And I think Melbourne is a really good team to start with.
Yep.
Have heard that for them it's grand final or bust.
That's an interesting statement. Mm. I wouldn't quite go that high. But they're definitely a dark horse, Melbourne. Mm. I'm really excited to see what they can do. They performed well last year. They were a little bit inconsistent. But that last game they played against Fremantle when they were really pushing, when there was still a chance that they could make the grand final, they piled on 5 goals in the first quarter and finished with 10 for the match and absolutely blew Fremantle out of the water, who were pretty exhausted by that stage, pretty injury hit, it must be said.
And I think you pointed out before we started recording that they took a while to get going, Melbourne, in terms of their forward line throughout the season. But the way they sort of picked up over the season, and they just seemed to really gel as a team, was quite, I don't know, kind of inspiring, especially in that back end of the season where their grand final place was on the line. You could really tell that all of them, they were there to play.
Yeah.
Which was amazing for the AFLW's first season, where a lot of girls, I think, kind of were maybe just there for the ride. So I think Mick Steiner has sort of, you know, drilled them sort of very well, and obviously inspirational captain in Daisy Pierce. And speaking of Daisy Pierce, first, their strengths.
Yep.
Obviously has to be that midfield.
It's a terrifying midfield.
Terrifying.
Obviously Daisy Pierce, legend of the game. Karen Paxman, although she floated a bit off half-back last season, and Elisa O'Day, the three Darabin girls form a really powerful midfield combination.
Yeah. So powerful, in fact, that I think all three of them ended up in the top six top disposal getters of the competition. So to have three midfielders from the one team in that top six, that just shows you the calibre of that midfield. Plus, when you have supporting acts such as Mel Hickey and Lily Mithen as well. Yep.
How can we forget Lily?
Exactly. My favourite player in the AFLW, Lily Mithen.
You mentioned Mel Hickey there. Don't be surprised to see Mel move into the midfield more coming into this season. Mm. She did play on Erin Phillips last year in that match against Adelaide. She sort of tagged her. Phillips, you know, it was still Phillips, picked up 20 touches. But her
took an amazing specky.
Did take an amazing specky. Yeah, it was nominated for Mark of the Year. Mm. But she didn't have her usual influence.
No, yeah. She was, I did feel that Mel Hickey was very subdued during that first AFLW season. So maybe that was there, Melbourne not quite sure about her role yet, whether she was that midfielder or she was that halfback. But definitely during the VFLW season, we did see her play a lot through the midfield.
Another midfielder to look out for is Rochelle Cranston. Mm. It's come out sort of the last month or so. There's been a few pieces on her. She's lost something like 30 kilos in the last 3 years.
I have seen that,
Gridiron player, tough as nails. And if she's fitter than ever, that should be extremely terrifying for the rest of the competition.
Mm, for sure. And we're going to get into the sort of the youngsters that we were in a second, but sort of Jazz Grierson and Catherine Smith, two young players who hold their own, like, extraordinarily in the back line as well. So they've got it well covered in the back with Catherine Smith and Jazz Grierson back there, and obviously Laura Dreher as well. So I think now going into that weakness, which we sort of decided they don't really have much of a weakness, but it will sort of be how well their forward line gets going.
Yeah, exactly right. They're the slow starters at the start of the season. They had that amazing midfield. They were sort of racking up the disposals in the middle of the ground and sending it into the forward 50 a lot, but it was just coming straight back out again. It just took the forward line a little while to gel, but then we saw the emergence of Alyssa Mifsud, who was really a real focal target for them. If she didn't mark it, she brought it to ground. They got the likes of Kat Phillips and Alicia Newman later on in the season really came along, incredibly lightning quick players. Mm. So I think the weakness is just that consistency of performance. Mm. We'd like to see them hit the ground running from the start of the year.
Yeah, and I think, as I said, I think they'll be pumped and they'll want to get that consistency from the start.
Yep.
Which from all reports, it sounds like that is what they're going for, which is awesome. But it's hard when a team, they're so, like, There's just no weaknesses with Melbourne, which, you know, maybe the grand final or bust is not too far. Maybe it's a lot of expectation, but not too far. But speaking of these well-covered best youngster, I myself have gone with Jazz Grierson, who scored Melbourne's first ever goal, which is quite surprising for someone who plays on the back line.
Yes.
But I just think Jazz is an amazing player. Like, for someone so young, such sure hands,
yep.
such sure decision-making as well. And it seems, from what I've seen on the Instagram, she spends a lot of time at KB Performance. So obviously, just, you know, getting herself right for this AFLW season, which I think it could be a breakout year for her in a way.
Yeah.
Get a bit more attention, stamp her authority a bit more in the back line and on the game. So I think Jazz Grierson is my best youngster for Melbourne. Who's yours?
I've got a new draftee, Eden Zanker. I just want to say, put it on the record, I think Jazz Grierson's a great player.
Mm.
This is just a bit of a point of difference here.
Yeah.
Eden Zanker is a key forward from up Bendigo way, and she played for Bendigo in the under-18s and was a real standout for Vic Country in the under-18s national championships.
Mm.
She's a great target. She's 183 centimetres.
Very tall. I remember standing next to her at the draft and feeling very short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Melbourne took her with their first pick, I am 90% sure.
Yeah.
Yes, pick six. And, yeah, with good reason. I think she'll provide an excellent second target. They did lose Deanna Berry during the off-season. So while Zanga is a lot taller than Berry, she will fill that sort of spot in the forward line.
Mm. And I suppose it's probably up to the biggest hurdle for Eden will be adjusting to the AFLW, probably the speed and style of game.
But she hasn't played that much footy. She's pretty raw.
Mm.
She sort of came on, like, leapt through the system in the space of about a year.
Wow.
And now she's on an AFLW list.
But I suppose with the calibre of talent around her, she should probably, you know, meet that hurdle pretty well, I'd say.
Yep.
And I think we've both gone with the same player here for their best new recruit, and that has to be Bianca Jacobson.
Yeah, definitely.
They picked up in that random-as, like, four-way trade that happened to get Taylor Harris to Carlton.
Yep.
So Carlton have sort of offloaded Bianca Jacobson onto Melbourne, which is surprising considering Bianca Jacobson was their first pick of the 2016 draft. Bianca Jacobson grew up supporting Carlton and now has gone off to Melbourne. So I felt a bit for her when that happened, I have to say, but
yeah,
probably for the best, I'd say.
Yeah, it was sort of an unfortunate side effect of that Taylor Harris deal.
Mm.
In the interest of keeping the competition even, just sort of to make sure that deal went through, Carlton did have to give up someone quality in return.
Yep.
They did lose Nat Exon and Bella Eyre up to Brisbane and Bianca Jacobson to Melbourne. So it was a fair offloading of talent to bring in a Taylor Harris.
Mm.
But yeah, back to BJ. She's great. I really like her.
I really like her, and I really like her in the way that she doesn't play flashy footy.
Yep.
Like, you often won't notice her. Like, not that you won't notice her on the field, but she does the little things very, very well.
Yep.
And I think she led the competition at one stage last year for contested marks.
Yep.
And also,
and she's not big either.
And
like,
she's
about 170-odd centimetres, 175. But, yeah, excellent athleticism. And one thing about Bianca Jacobson is that you won't notice her until the third and fourth quarters.
Yeah.
That's where her elite endurance comes into it.
And also where her game-changing sort of senses come in. I remember she kicked the match-drawing goal against Brisbane for Carlton. And surprisingly, in the State of Origin game, she played for the Allies, born in New South Wales, played for the Allies, but noticed her a lot more on the half-back line.
Yep.
And from what I saw in that game, it suited her so well. Like, everything, the ball sort of came towards the defending 50 for her. She was there, and quite often she took the mark and got it out quickly. Good decision-making off the half-back. So I think it could be an inspired move by Melbourne if they if they do go through with this.
From all accounts, she will play along that half-back line, provide some real speed, which Melbourne have in spades. They really recruited in two areas. They recruited speed. So Maddie Guerin's a young under-18 player who's come through. She's lightning quick. If she gets a game, she'll play off that half-back flank as well.
Yeah.
And height was the other area they really recruited in. So they've got Erin Hoare and Kate Hoare. Different spelling of their surnames, not related, but they're twin giants.
Yeah. Erin Hoare's, what, 190 centimetres, I think?
Possibly even 194. Ooh. Former vixen.
Jeez, that is so tall.
Yep.
Well, yeah, I feel like if that makes me feel short, then it might make you feel a little bit shorter, Sarah.
Yeah, if you haven't actually met me, I'm 153 centimetres, I think.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably about that, yeah.
We'll go with that. Callista Boyd, the Adelaide rookie, is like a couple of centimetres taller than me.
Wow.
So that's your point of comparison there.
Yeah. And also Jordan Zanchetta.
Jordan Zanchetta and Ange Gogos. Yeah. They're the other two.
So if you ever see them running around on the field, you'd be like, oh, that's how Sarah. Tall Sarah is. Yeah.
Yeah, just nowhere near as good.
No. But yeah, BJ on the half-back line. So it could be an inspired move by midfield. And that was one of the things we said that we would like to see from Melbourne this season.
Yeah.
Moving BJ down to the half-back line. And also, we spoke about this, but seeing more of that conversion from the midfield to the forward as well. And I sort of went out of a whim and I said, what has to give for Mel Hickey to move into the midfield? And I sort of thought a rotation between Mel Hickey and Daisy Pearce into the forward line, which I know you weren't keen on, Sarah.
No.
But I think it could work well.
Yeah.
Just because Daisy has so much experience.
Yep.
And I think in this competition, no matter where you sort of put her with that experience, she could rise above just so well. Even if she doesn't score goals, her assists would probably be top level.
See, I've got two issues with it. One being that they tried it at the start of last year.
Mm.
She was carrying a bit of an injury, it must be said, but she just didn't, and this goes with the second issue, she just didn't have the influence on a match that she could. Daisy is a match winner.
True.
So if you take her out of the midfield, are you losing a bit of that drive? But you're suggesting a midfield rotation, which could work, rather than a permanent forward position.
Because I would assume that she would be spending most of the minutes of the game on the ground.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't play in the midfield the entire game, I wouldn't think. But if you're Daisy Pearce, you're probably good because you're a superhero.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Melbourne, as we said, the biggest dark horse of the competition.
Yeah. One thing to look out for with the Ds that we haven't covered is the last touch rule. I reckon they're the team that's going to benefit the most from this.
Mm.
It's meant to increase the pace of the game, increase scoring, decrease congestion. Just think of those quick rebound turnovers off half-back and think of Kat Phillips streaming into an open goal. I think it's going to suit Melbourne down to the tee.
Mm. Speaking of speed and height, I feel like those two attributes are the ones that will sort of benefit teams in the last touch rule.
Yeah. Well, we saw it with Brisbane. Brisbane could be Brisbane last year with Kate McCarthy, Jess Wooshner, and Sabrina and Tal Harris and Ashmore.
Mm.
Yeah,
mm.
They had that balance really worked out well.
Mm.
So probably expect to see a similar thing with Melbourne this year.
I think so too. And I think, yeah.
You never know. Look, we could listen back to this in, you know, 2 months' time and go, oh, that was horrible.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But, you know, here's hoping that I reckon Melbourne will be the best performed of the Victorian sides.
Yeah. Big call, big call. But I
sort of, but they were the best performed side of the Victorian sides last year.
That
so
is true.
I'm not exactly going out on a limb there.
Yeah, that is true. So yeah, and as you said, that is the thing with these previews. You never know, and we can only go off what we've said.
Yeah.
Off with what we've seen and what we've heard and all that kind of stuff. And I think I said to you this before as well, off air, that it seems that every team going into the draft, going into sort of trade period or whatever, everyone sort of said, oh, like, we need Melbourne to get, like, forwards. They got forwards.
Yeah.
Carlton needs midfielders. They drafted midfielders. So it makes it very hard. But I think a team that made the least changes, aside from delisting and all that kind of thing, was Adelaide.
Yes. Well, the Premiers. Why change a winning lineup?
That is exactly right. Why change a winning lineup? And so obviously we're going to preview Adelaide now. And I think their biggest strength for me was that they covered every part of the ground.
Yep.
So they had Sarah Perkins up front, they had Erin Phillips in the middle, and then Chelsea Randall of the halfback.
Yeah.
And it was just those three core players that sort of held it all together, kept it covered, and sort of they were their match winners, which I think bode them well in terms of them winning the premiership. And you've just singled out one player, haven't you?
Yeah, Adelaide's biggest strength is Erin Phillips.
Yeah.
That's it. No more needs to be
exactly.
said.
I was about to say, I was like, you don't even need to say, you just say Erin Phillips and everyone's like, amen. Like, yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
No need to talk anymore. But in saying, in what I've just said, in terms of having the whole ground coverage, their biggest weakness as well is that Champion Data have listed only 6 of their players as elite or above average.
Yeah, so their biggest strength is also their biggest weakness. Mm. It's a really unique situation Adelaide have. And I was a bit confused when I saw that ranking. It was puzzling, especially as Champion Data have also rated 11 of their premiership-winning squad as below average or poor.
Mm.
So this is just on statistical, you know, data as well. So, you know, you have to look at it through that lens.
Mm.
But it really indicates, like I got in contact with them and said, what's this about? This is a little bit confusing. And they said it's actually a very similar case to Richmond, the AFL premiers, in that they have the really, you know, the top four players are so much better than the rest of the team.
Mm.
They're winning players on their own bat sort of thing. And if you stop one of those players, or stop two of those players, I think is the key.
Yeah.
Then that you go a fair way to beating Adelaide. And we saw that when they played Melbourne last year. As we said earlier, Erin Phillips was quite subdued, even though she had the 20 touches and the, you know, the Mark of the Year nominee. But, you know, it was a subdued, didn't have that influence. Sarah Perkins was really quiet. She had a shoulder injury during that match.
Yeah.
And kicked a goal late to get them really close. But, yeah, Melbourne really clamped down on those two players and they won the match.
Yeah, and probably the same Brisbane that first game as well. I think they were subdued. Chelsea Randall ran riot against Brisbane. But I think it is a very interesting case of their biggest weakness is also their biggest... The biggest strength is also their biggest weakness.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how Bec Goddard... But I think Bec Goddard is a master, in a way, at... like sort of quelling that fear that they have these top tier players that are sort of leagues above the rest where it would be like sort of how Richmond got pumped up and every single player has their role. Yep. They know exactly what they need to do and sort of how they support those elite players as well.
Yeah. It was really interesting watching Bec coach the under 18 Allies side, which had players from 3 different sides, Tasmania, Northern Territory and South Australia. They had 2 days to get to know each other before the competition started, and they beat every team they played. It was the best performance by an Allies that anyone could remember for a very long time.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, so the magic powers of Bec Goddard in that sort of, as you were saying, that real emotional connection that the Crows have. And following our Crows recap, Eb Marinoff, we'll put in this Eb Marinoff interview, and she spoke about the close connection the girls have, even though they're split between the two camps of Adelaide and Darwin.
Yeah. And that is, yeah, exactly. Bec Goddard, I very much think that she would hammer home the message that it doesn't matter if you're not the best player on the ground.
Yep.
As long as you play your role and you support the best players, that's how we will win a match.
And what's terrifying from Adelaide is that if those middle-tier players lift, imagine how good they'll be.
Exactly. So I think also Ed Marinoff mentions the whole everyone sort of knows what they're getting themselves into this year around. So we will obviously see everyone lift. And best youngster... I think you speak so highly of her, Sarah.
Yes,
and
I love her.
It's obviously the first sister act of the AFLW, Jess Allen, the first draft pick for Adelaide this year, joining her sister Sarah.
First sister act, sort of, in that Carlton had Sarah and Jess Hosking, but Jess didn't play last year with her injury. So, weirdly enough, two sets of sisters in the AFL who play for the same team, both Sarah and Jess.
Oh, my God!
Yeah. It's possibly my favourite AFLW fact.
Whoa! Mind blown. That is amazing.
Also, Sarah was an incredibly common name about the time I was born, so, you know, that goes some way to balancing that.
That doesn't even matter. That doesn't even matter. Oh, my God. That is huge. That's like the title of the podcast right there, Sarah and Jess.
Sister act. We need a like a bomb sound effect
exactly.
or something.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. That is huge.
But so anyway, back to Jess Allen. vice-captain of the under-18s All-Australian side. She's a ruck. Mm. She's very impressive leader, very mature for 18-year-old, and she's got an amazing leap. She's a basketballer, as you know.
Yeah, most. Yeah.
Most seem to be. And reads the ball really well, really strong contested mark. Like, her height helps, but you still have to have that good timing, which she has. And she can really direct play. Beck has said that she can really direct play on the ground, which is really impressive from someone of her age. And it'll be really interesting to see what Adelaide do with Jess, because they had to draft her. You couldn't let her go. You couldn't let her slip. But Rhiannon Metcalf performed so well in the ruck last season.
And her sister even played in the draft as well.
In the ruck as well. And then Sarah Perkins a bit when it went up forward, sort of pinch hit as well. So maybe there's slot Jess in it. You know, centre half back or something like that. It's one to keep your eye on.
Definitely one to keep the eye on. And I reckon another player to really keep their eye on, which we've both flagged as best new recruit, is Jasmine Hewitt.
Yes.
Who sort of came out of absolutely nowhere and in the draft combine was top 10, even top 5 in all of the testing for the combine. So obviously got picked up. Still got picked up, I think, in like the second round by Adelaide.
So it's her second pick behind behind Jess Allen.
And but by all reports, it sounds like she's going to be an absolute jet.
Yeah. So Jazz Hewitt's come out of Darwin. Well, she's actually a South Australian born. Grew up there. You know, there was no footy around, but sort of kicked in the backyard with her dad. I've just pulled up her combine results here. She came second in the 2K, second in the vertical jump, and 10th in the 20-metre sprint and 2nd in the yo-yo.
Yeah.
So pretty impressive results. She's over 180 centimetres tall, key position player, can play forward, can even go through the midfield. She's got a booming kick on her. When I spoke to her, she said the only position she hasn't played in her one season of footy, may I add, is defence. And in netball, she is a defender.
Perf.
So, you know, incredibly versatile.
Mm. And I think, those results, when I saw them, I was blown away that someone dominated the combine like they did.
Yeah.
And then in their first season as well. So I think best new recruit and also, like Jess Allen, someone to keep your eye on. And quickly, what do you want to see more from Adelaide?
This is a very selfish one. I've said a continuation of Beck Goddard's entertaining press conferences, just because they're wonderful to report on.
Oh, and then when you said that before we started recording, I just said, I love the way Beck answers questions. It's like she's a poet. She's just like prepared for everything and answers everything so eloquently, and I love it. It's so good.
Yeah.
But on the field, I think we both said we'd like to see them sort of wear the expectations of being the premiers with pride and not let it sort of dampen their, you know, that underdog spirit, the uncomfortable to play against spirit. Just keep that hard-hitting game style.
And at the same time, I think they can play with a bit of arrogance.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They are the premiers. And that sort of arrogant, intimidatory style does go well with their really hard-tackling pressure playing footy.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of chests out from the Adelaide girls.
Yeah, exactly. Why not? And we also, as we said, we caught up with Ebony Marinoff from the Adelaide Crows. And so we'll cut to her interview now, and she can give us sort of lowdown on her time in Victoria in the off season, how preparation is going, and just looking just super forward to playing footy again. I think that was the biggest takeaway from the thing.
And why not?
And we maybe played this clip at the start, but the middle of the interview had a bit of an Eb Marinoff moment, maybe. Yep. We can call it that. But she did drop her phone.
Not even empathy.
Appreciation.
Appreciation, that's the word. Thank you.
Just appreciation, our Eb Marinoff moment, where she did drop her phone and crack the screen halfway through. So sympathy to your phone, Ebony, if you do end up listening to this, and we hope you get it fixed at a good price somewhere down in Adelaide. But listen in now on Eb giving us the lowdown on Adelaide's pre-season. Hello, Ebony. How are you?
Good, thank you, guys.
That's good. Now, you're obviously on the phone with Lucy and Sarah from Credit to the Girls. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me. Look forward to it.
You're coming off a really, really busy year, I would say. The 2017 AFLW season, Rising Star winner, Premiership player, and then you decided to come down to Victoria to play in the VFL. What was the thinking behind that?
Yeah, I guess probably had always been in my mind, you know, going over to Youth Girls Championships and seeing how talented, like, girls youth from Victoria were, and I guess, you know, 16, 17, going through high school in Adelaide, you know, moving over to Melbourne probably wasn't a reality for me, but I guess after the AFLW season and the season that I had with the Crows, I was like, why not go challenge myself and head over and play some VFL? And yeah, and it was the best decision I ever made, and got to play alongside superstars in my team at the Crows, as you know, CJ and Flip and Chelsea Randall and things like that, and then to go over and play with, you know, Daisy Pierce, Katie Brennan, Melissa Hickey, and Elisa Day and those girls. Yeah, couldn't have asked for a better year of footy, and had some really cool teammates to learn off as well.
Yeah. And what do you think you really took away from your time at Darebin?
I guess just, I probably learnt a lot just as a person, and over here in Adelaide, I'm probably seen to be one of the more senior girls or who'd been around women's football. So to go over and, I guess, not be that role model and learn off people and the way they go about their life, not just in football, was probably a big thing for me. And going over to Melbourne probably taught me most of all that there's more to life than football, but football's so important when you're there. Just to balance, that was probably one thing that I took away. Because obviously here you don't see how, you know, Daisy Pierce lives her life and how, you know, how she's so good the way she goes about her things. But just to see how, you know, she went back to midwifery and, you know, she goes to the gym and just the way she balances all and has a really good life base. That's probably the best thing I took from that journey at Darebin.
Yeah, I was, when I heard you were coming, I thought you would maybe, you know, get the whole just a bit too much footy in one year. But it seems like you did find, like, balance in that, which seems a really good thing.
Adelaide is so small, so it's probably more footy over here. And like you said, it was probably the same, you know, two big seasons just going over to Melbourne, but I learnt so much. I'm so grateful that I stuck with my heart and I went over. And obviously it was probably a bit of controversial, like, why is she doing it? But yeah, best decision I've ever made, but so happy to be back, you know, with the Crows girls and looking forward to season 2.0.
Yeah, and how important is it for you guys to sort of keep that real core group, that core premiership winning group together?
Oh, yeah, it's so important. And like you said, with the such short season, you know, to bring that, you know, environment in only such a short time in pre-season, but then to stick together. We've had a couple of girls from Darwin actually, you know, on their own will choose to come down and live in Adelaide, which is awesome. So we've got a couple of good girls that have come down from Darwin and now have moved their whole life here to Adelaide, which is awesome for us Adelaide girls to have those girls here. Not saying that the partnership's not great, but it's just you know, awesome to see the girls come down here and see the facilities at the Adelaide Football Club and just the way we go about it as a whole team, and then come down here and have a big core group of training has been a real bonus for us this year. But looking forward to the camp this weekend and trial match, because we can see the other girls that are still based in Darwin.
And also, obviously it being such a short season, I would have thought last year going into it, there was probably a whole lot more kind of inductions and not sure what you were getting yourself into. Do you feel like there's been a difference this year with that?
Oh, 100%. I think last year, like you said, it was the unknown. Now, with the majority of us have been through it, and we've got most of our girls from last year on the list still, and then we've got some really good youth girls that have come in and just absorbed everything. So I think having that year ahead has given us a real bonus. But in saying that, for us girls that have been here, we're, you know, putting our foot forward to make those new girls, you know, settle in quicker. You know, obviously last year we were all on the same base and we were all new, we were all new system. But just really working together and bringing everyone up to the same level of, you know, that we all should be at to perform in the season.
Yeah, and we've heard a fair bit about some of your new recruits in Jess Allen and Jasmine Hewitt especially. What can you tell us about some of the other new players the Crows have picked up this year?
So we've got an absolute jet, Ruth Wallace. I think she's about 24, and she's come from Sawful.
Yep.
Actually a former Adelaide United soccer player, so I think, you know, we've seen these girls that have come across from elite cross sport codes and fitted into football quite nicely. So she's She's an absolute lively jet in forward. And who else do we have? Jess Allen's going to be an absolute gun.
Yep.
We've got Bill Brianna Walling, small little jet from Youth Girls. Awesome to see. I played junior football with her. And Eloise Jones, let down a basketball scholarship to go to across to America. So hopefully we've got a little junior Erin Phillips on our team. She'll be really good. Just a great person because they're coming through the system through Youth Girls, becoming more open to what we haven't had back in my day at Youth Girls. So I think they're just coming into the system with a lot more knowledge and a lot more awareness is what we want out of them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And, I love that there is this, this pathway now and stuff like that because, as you said, you're probably a couple of years younger than me, but I literally couldn't play football, because there wasn't the option. So I find it really nice to see these girls, coming through this pathway and then straight into sort of an AFLW club. It's so amazing to see. I love that.
Yeah, it's so cool. Yeah, and they love it too. I was pretty lucky coming from Youth Girls and then straight into the system. But it's just good to see so many, other girls. We've got four Youth Girls coming into the system and that will just get bigger and bigger as the Youth Girls program grows and the girls coming through. I just probably got just such a lot higher, more standard.
Mm, of course. And with that... how has Beck done sort of, quelling the expectation of, you guys having such a great standout season and, obviously winning that premiership as well?
Yeah, so just getting back to the basics and, everyone says what a successful season we had, but everything, last year every game was at such an elite level, week by week it was becoming tougher and the games were grinding out longer. So same thing with training, just take it week by week, night by night, just focusing on the basics and just really getting that camaraderie with the girls on their training track and then taking that into games.
Will we continue to see that really physical, sort of uncomfortable game style from you guys that, really putting on a whole lot of pressure on opposition teams?
That's our motto, be uncomfortable to play against. And I think that's how our footy team plays our best footy, just really physical and just basic football, I guess. In this league, what it is, I'm sure it won't be like that in a few more years. But with the time that we have at training, obviously we've got more hours this year, but we don't have a lot of time to make things difficult. So just stick to the basics, real physicality, and it's great to see those new girls coming in and really bringing their physicality too, because it's how we play as a team, and those girls have really connected well with that, and Beck's been driving that at training as well.
And you obviously have that hit out this weekend against Freo up in Darwin, and you said also a training camp. How much are the girls looking forward to that one?
Oh, yeah, I think coming off Christmas break in 2 weeks, and obviously we're all having to train by ourselves, and then coming back to training, we just want to play footy.
Yeah.
We probably all... I've grown to understand how important pre-season is, but you get to a stage where you just want to play footy. We're absolutely itching to get out there. Should be a cracking match. Obviously, Freo, a bit disappointing last year with all their injuries and things like that probably didn't go their way. So looking forward to seeing what they put on the park and, should be a good scout.
And with the Darwin training camp, have you guys, sort of the same thing as last year where you've been split, or have you been... I know you mentioned more girls have sort of come down to live in Adelaide, but have you still been training with that split kind of city sort of thing?
Yeah, like I said before, we've probably had about four people move down. So we've actually only got... Unfortunately, I guess, for them, when you look at it like that, there's probably only three left up there. But they're training with their train-ons up there, and they're getting, exactly what we're getting down here. But it's probably a little bit different this year, I think I had nine up there last year, and now there's three. So I guess that's, a big difference when you look at it like that. But great for us, I guess, to have him down here. But it's still working. We've had a couple of camps, and, when we see those girls, it's like that extra excitement around the team because we haven't all been together for a few weeks. So, it should be good. And the camps are really good.
And just to finish off, Eb, speaking of excitement about playing, you guys have the showcase game come round one, grand final rematch against the Brisbane Lions on a Saturday night. How much are you guys looking forward to that?
Oh, I'm pumped. Saturday night, Norwood Oval. It's a big weekend in Adelaide. We've got lots going on. I guess, you know, it's cool to have the grand final rematch, but you kind of just look at it as a new season and, win that game. Not that it had mattered from last year. Obviously, a good showcase, like you said, but it's a new season. I'm sure, you know, after the heartache of what Brisbane went through with losing to us last year, they'll be, you know, absolutely firing that night. So it should be a cracking match. And if you all remember last year when we played Brisbane at Norwood, it was probably one of the best showcases of female footy in the AFLW season one. So it should be an absolute cracker. And, yeah, can't wait to get out there.
Can't wait to see a packed Norwood Oval for that. That'll be great.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, that's a great oval.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Eb. We really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
Great insight there from Ebony Marinoff. And as we said, good luck with the phone.
Yeah, definitely. And really great to have such a big name on our very first episode.
I know.
Kicking off 2018 with the bang.
Kicking off the bang. Kicking off credit to the girls.
Yeah, and there's more to come too. Stick exactly. around. We're going to have an interview with Emma Swanson from GWS, marquee player, of course. So it'll be interesting to see what she has to say about some of the changes up at the Giants.
Mm, big changes up at the Giants. And I think also big changes down at Collingwood, which is our next club that we're going to preview. And we sort of had a difficult conversation about Collingwood, because don't want to be mean, don't want to sound a bit rude, but they...
Or disparaging.
Or disparaging, I think. But I think, you know, they could maybe not push for top four again.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. The general feeling was that they underperformed last year.
Mm.
And from all accounts, Coach Wayne Siegman, and they've got a new footy operations manager in Matthew James, former AFL umpire, actually. Mm. It's a fun fact for you. Umpired grand finals, no less. But he's taken over from Meg Hutchins, relieving Meg of that extra duty so she can focus completely on playing. She played so well last year. Can't wait to see what she's going to be like when she's got a full focus on footy.
Yeah.
But those two conducted a thorough review of everything that happened last season. And they've made some changes down at the Magpies. The players as well have really bought into this professionalism. I think it's a good description of it, and really that what the expectation is, and they're working really hard away from the club, improving their nutrition, all sorts of things like that. So I reckon there's definitely a chance we can see improvement from Collingwood this year.
Mm. I think, and that was sort of what we've spoken about with our biggest strength of the club, is that while I don't think they don't sort of jump out at you, the strengths, but there's a lot of potential for Collingwood. Yeah. And obviously the biggest potential is their forward line. And you were like just parring off the names before.
Yeah.
And I was like, every single name you mentioned there, I'm like, wow, I can name so many strengths of those players and be like, they will be amazing for Collingwood up forward.
Yeah.
And that was like, such as obviously Mo Hope and Jasmine
Garner.
And it
will be a fully fit Mo Hope this time around. She's carrying a bit of an injury last year, but she's also shed quite a few kilos.
Mm.
So don't be surprised if you see Mo move further up the ground. I think that's her biggest strength, is her movement.
I think so too. And I was watching a couple of highlights the other day, and her movement off the ball and even body work in those one-on-ones is quite amazing.
Yeah.
So I think Mo, fully fit, fitter, and like at full strength, could be quite a prospect for Collingwood.
Exciting to watch.
Mm.
And then we were saying Jazzy Garner, which hit five or six goals in the State of Origin match.
Yeah, five, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Really impressed. She had a really impressive tail end to the VFLW season.
Yep.
Another one who's really stepped up her game off the field in terms of fitness work and gym work. Sarah Darcy.
Huge.
Really underrated player,
yep.
Incredibly strong hands. I was down at Collingwood training last night, and I heard Matt James say to her that he's never seen her mark better.
Amazing.
So another one to look forward to, Jess Duffin.
Duffin.
Duffin. Yep. She got married in the off-season. Actually led the competition for marks.
Yeah. She's a very, very strong set of hands, which may have something to do with cricket catching background.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit. But, yeah, she is like smashing boundaries in the WBBL at the moment.
Yep.
So she will be match fit, obviously. And her strengths up forward, she would arguably, I'd say, sit at the same calibre as Mo Hope in terms of a game changer up forward.
And the one player we haven't mentioned is number 3 draft pick and leading goal kicker in the VFLW, Chloe Malloy.
Mm. But there are whispers that she won't go up forward immediately, is there?
Yes, yeah. Coach Wayne Siegmund's really big on versatility this year.
Yeah.
And we have seen with Chloe in the past that she can play through the midfield.
Mm.
And the word out of Collingwood is that she can also slot in across half back. She reads the ball really well. So just one to look out for. Where will Chloe Malloy line up?
Mm. And so I think, as we've said, that's where Collingwood's biggest strength lie. They have a very potentially amazing forward line.
Yeah.
You just need to see them fire.
Yeah.
And I think...
It happened. It happened against GWS. They absolutely demolished the Giants last year.
Mm.
They pushed Adelaide. They were leading them the whole way until the very last, like the second half of the last quarter when Sarah Perkins just...
Played like a woman possessed.
Yeah. Took the game by the scruff of the neck and took it away from the Magpies. So, yeah, as we're saying, the potential's there.
Potential is there. And I think the other strength we said that we'll touch on quickly is they have Emma King.
Yes.
Premier ruck of the competition. So they can easily sort of dictate play around stoppages if they work hard enough, which sort of takes us into the weaknesses. Big holes to fill, obviously, Alicia Eva, who came second in the best and fairest, leaves a big hole in the midfield. And then off the back line, the winner of their best and fairest has also left, which is obviously Nicola Stevens. So they've got two very big holes to fill when in a team... which is the second weakness, that sort of lacks those elite players.
Yeah. Look for Ash Brazel.
Mm.
Ash will be the one to fill the hole that's left by Nicola Stevens. Netballer, knows the Collingwood hierarchy really well. She plays for them in netball, and she's played a lot of footy. We did some digging before and found that in 2012, when Ash was still based in Perth, she won the best and fairest for West Coast Fever in the netball competition.
Yep.
She was also Rookie of the Year in the WAWFL. So that's quite an achievement.
Quite an achievement. That was almost 6 years ago now, which sounds crazy, but... You know, Ash Brazel, we will talk about her in a little bit as one of our best new recruits. But I can definitely also see her stepping up to fill one of those holes.
Mm-hmm.
Being a defender on the netball court, she would obviously read the play very well, would have very strong ball skills. So it'd be good to see like how she goes back there. But as I think it is that lack of elite players that sort of sometimes makes you look at the Collingwood list and leaves you feeling a little bit underwhelmed.
Yeah, so going back to, we mentioned the champion data stats earlier, Collingwood, it's even more damning. They've got one elite player, Steph Giocchi, and then four who are ranked above average. That gives them a total of five, which is the smallest amount in the competition of players who are ranked above average or higher.
Yeah.
Which really illustrates that point of, not really having those elite stars. They've got people like King, like Meg Hutchins, who we haven't mentioned, who can take their game to the next level.
Yeah, exactly. And can hopefully step up. And I think Steph Giocchi is such a great leader in the midfield. She's such sort of a spearhead in that way, in that she's sort of, she will stand up and she is very much sort of player that will be like, follow me and will lead by example and be like, I want you all to be... sort of ride this wave with me, get on my, I will lead us into the next challenge or whatever. But I think...
Yeah, she's a real barometer for them.
Exactly.
But moving forward in our Collingwood preview, that's the word. Best youngster. Again, we've split a little bit on this, but I think just to provide a bit of variety for your listeners. Lucy, who have you gone with?
I've gone with Darcy Guthridge, obviously captain of the Vic Country side.
Yes.
And led them to victory.
Yes, she did. And captain of the All-Australian under 18 side as well.
So I think those credentials say enough for themselves. Yep. But she's obviously a very strong leader. Not a big, tall girl or anything like that. But it seems like very sort of strong off the ground.
She's actually in that real Giocchi mode.
Mm.
Quite a lean player.
Yeah.
Quick. And just really, she loves taking the game on, Guthridge. Whether she slots in immediately across half-back remains to be seen. They may prefer to go with some more experienced options.
Mm.
But Collingwood rated her high enough to take her at pick number 9.
Yeah. And so picked up very, very early in the draft. So I expect big things from her, mainly from the sort of the feats that she's achieved at the under-18s yep. level. So, yeah, where she slots in, I see her having probably a pretty big impact. But you've gone with another player, haven't you?
I have. I've gone with Ilish Ross. Ilish is another one to really look forward to in the future. She's a defender. A mid-sized defender, I think you'd say.
Yeah.
Reads the ball incredibly well. She's a pure defender. I think it's the best way to describe her. She knows when to come off her player, when to come up the ground and create pressure, or when to drop back. She has that innate sense of when to do that. So, and she's a real character too. It would be, along with Guttridge, I think they're Collingwood players for the next 10 years.
Amazing. I think you've got a team like Collingwood draft smart so that you have those players that are going to fill those holes. And I bet Wayne Seekman and the new AFLW football operations manager, they would have known that, they would have seeked that out. So while we may get down on them for the lack of elite talent, I'm sure that they could be, they've picked long-term up players that are long-term prospects that we'll see in a few years' time become those elite players, which is amazing. But new recruits, we've spoken about Ash Brazel, which is my, I've gone with best new recruit, just from obviously the 2012 win, Rookie of the Year in the WAFL. Is that what it's called?
WAWFL.
WAWFL. And then also winning Best and Fairest West Coast Fever. But I have also heard that she is probably having the most fun she's ever had playing sport. So I think coming to the, with a lot of professionalism, a lot of elite sport background, a football background a little bit as well, but also just obviously the enjoyment and the enthusiasm she will bring to the group will probably be infectious, and I just can't wait to see her play. So that's why I'm picking her as my best new recruit. But you've gone for someone that they picked up in the off-season.
Yes, Jamie Lambert.
Yep.
This could be an absolute steal for Collingwood. Jamie had poor by her standards first season. I think it's safe to say she had a couple of knocks early in the season, and just it really sort of affected how freely she could move on the ground. We saw how well she played in the State of Origin match, and she is in excellent touch on the track at the minute. Expect to see her working right in the guts, which was exactly what Collingwood needed. Someone to really help out in that midfield clearance work, along with Amelia Barden, who did so well, but sort of a lone soldier in that regard.
Mm. And as you said, probably not a season by her standards for Western Bulldogs. It was a bit quiet.
She was a first-round draft pick.
First round. And then again, easy maybe to be seen as quiet when you have Emma Carney and Ali Blackburn running right around you. So, as you said, could be a complete steal for Collingwood. And I'm very interested to see how she makes the transition over to Collingwood. But, you know, where does that leave what we want to see from Collingwood?
I think it's just as easy as a round one win.
Yeah.
Carlton Collingwood, first match of the season, start the year off right.
Yeah.
It wasn't great for them last year. Jazzy Garner kicked the first goal, but that was their only goal. Mm. So a first round win could really set their season up well.
And yeah, they did have a slow start to the season last year, lost the first three games.
Mm-hmm.
And having watched that documentary that they released, it just seemed like all those girls were just pining for a win after those first three losses. So I think they will be pumped to start this season off the way they ended last season.
Yeah.
So I think, what we want to see is just prove some doubters wrong. Yeah. Like, prove us wrong. That's what I want to see.
Beat a top four side.
Exactly. Beat the top four sides. Yeah, would love that.
Because a strong Collingwood is good for the competition.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
That is very true. Very true. A happy Eddie means everyone's happy, you know?
Yeah.
So sort of, we've come from Collingwood, where expectations, not quite sure where they lie. As we said, maybe a little bit underwhelming. What we want to see is them, you know, start their season off right.
Yeah.
I think another team that we want to see do that is the GWS Giants.
Yeah, definitely. Wooden Spooners from last year, they showed flashes, the Giants, but they were blown away a lot.
Yeah.
Really inexperienced team.
Mm.
And they addressed that with their drafting this year, which was absolutely incredible, the selections they pulled.
Because I think, GWS was definitely one of those teams where I think looking at sort of phantom drafts and going over drafts, you were picking all of these sort of players that had been in the New South Wales ACT under-18 side and being like, oh, yeah, they'll pick up some youths, inject some, you know, some quality quality youth into the side, but then they went and did the absolute opposite.
Yep.
The only one they really chose that you would have expected them to choose was Haneen Zrika.
Yes.
And she was even only picked as a rookie.
Yeah, and I think that was really evident as to GWS's recruiting strategy. Mm. Like, Cam, their first pick, which they used on Jodie Hicks, a 21-year-old cricketer, actually, from the Sydney Sixers, which was pick 5. Everyone expected Haneen's name to be read out. She is by far and away the best of New South Wales' draftable age tier, if you understand what I'm going with, the 18-year-olds. And when she wasn't read out, you're like, okay, it'll be the next one. It never was.
It never came.
It was people like Tanya Hetherington, a real veteran from Diamond Creek, who's been around coaching Diamond Creek when she was injured. She's a 32-year-old. Courtney Gum, a 36-year-old from South Australia, New South Wales via South Australia, is another one. Phoebe Monaghan is 24. She's our age.
Yeah.
So, you know, still more experience, not an 18-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they were definitely trying to, you know, correct what they saw as sort of
a deficiency
in their list, which completely good on them. Like, that is very, very clever drafting. And I think we'll see that when we talk sort of about their best recruits and how we see them sort of going for the season. But I think first, and I think we sort of asked this question, and at first we were sort of a bit silent, but we managed to find it. But that is a strength of the GWS Giants, and that they do have a very sort of, even maybe not to the calibre of Melbourne, but they have a very stacked midfield.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say stacked. I'd say it's a, like, they've got some stars in there.
Yeah.
They've got some real stars at the top. It doesn't necessarily have the depth of some of the other sides.
Mm.
But Erin McKinnon's going to be one of the best rucks in the competition in the next few years. She's only 19.
Yep.
She's the tallest player, second tallest now, now that Erin Hoare's been picked up by Melbourne. Absolute giant of a girl, but knows she's smart too.
Yeah.
Definitely smart. And then you throw in Amanda Ferrugia, captain.
Ferrugia.
Jess Dalpos. Two sort of similar players, like they're quite undersized.
Yeah.
But they still managed to get the ball out. And then throw in Alicia Eva to that.
Mm. Who was an amazing recruit for the GWS Giants. Big coup to get her from Collingwood. Because Eva, you know, she also is a very small sort of player as well. But big in that she makes herself known and also is very good at directing traffic.
Yeah.
In the midfield, but also almost dictating how it's all going to play out, which we definitely saw in the State of Origin game, where she sort of played the general role in that midfield. So it'll be good to see her slot in there. And I sort of put in as one of their strengths is Phoebe McWilliams.
Yes, you're a big fan of Phoebe.
I'm a big fan of Phoebe. Very much key forward.
Yes.
And played a good role as a key forward,
especially
for a team like GWS, where you know, at times there wasn't a lot going on, but it seemed that whenever they got it forward, they seemed to be a bit threatening because Phoebe was up there.
Yeah, and she often had to deal with two defenders.
Yeah.
And did really well to do so.
Did really well, to take the ball off the ground and also in the air. And is a great set shot kick
as well. Yes, very reliable.
Which I think sometimes the skill level in that sort of regard isn't quite there yet with the AFLW. So girls who can kick a good set shot, that is gold.
Yeah.
And I think Phoebe McWilliams, one of the more underrated players
of
the AFLW. So I expect to see big things for her now that, you know, the midfield and with more experience coming into the side. And we've sort of, as we've touched on, we've sort of seen it as a weakness that last year there was that lack of experience and maybe, you know, coming into a season with maybe not a lot of confidence could be their weakness.
Yeah. So we're pretty much saying that it's not a weakness that we can see now.
Mm.
We're basing this on last year.
Mm.
And the question on GWS is, will these older recruits, will that address that situation?
Yeah.
If it does, good on them. Smart recruiting. They got Shiloh Curtis on board to help with their recruiting. Expert AFLW, you know, person in general, just knows everything there is to know about women's footy. If it does address it, great.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, if they still look inexperienced and get blown out of the water, definite, obvious weakness.
Weakness. And, you know, so much experience, it was hard for us to choose best youngster. Because I think we went through the list and there's really only one player under the age of 20, and that is Haneen Zarika, who is on the rookie list, but obviously, you know, not wishing ill luck upon anyone, but it does only take one sort of injury for someone to get elevated from that rookie list up to the playing list. And if Haneen was, you think she could probably slot in quite easily.
Yeah, she's a real... She's not big, Haneen. Mm. She's quite short. But what she lacks in height, she makes up for in ferocity.
Mm.
She's one of the hardest tacklers I've ever seen. She completely dominated the midfield alongside Elise Parker, who's for New South Wales. That's someone to look out for in the next few years. Elise is going to be an absolute gun. But back to Haneen, she loves just winning the ball. And she hates being taken off the ground. She just loves playing for the sake of playing.
And obviously, like, rugby league background, wasn't it, for Haneen?
Yep.
So she would bring, that tough sort of, you know, shepherding off the ball, good pressure, which you obviously need playing rugby league. So I think that makes her exciting if she ever is elevated off the rookie list or gets her chance in years to come.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be a long-term injury either for players to be elevated. Just a simple one-week calf strain is enough for you, as long as the club says this player is unavailable due to an injury, that rookie player can be elevated and played for that game.
Yeah.
So, don't be surprised if we see Haneen during the year.
Yeah, that's true. And I think exciting.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
What did you say? Best sort of personality of anyone you've sort of come across in
AFW? Just the enthusiasm Haneen has for the game is so infectious. She's a great, great one to interview and have a chat to if you ever come across Haneen.
We may have to get her on the show if she gets a go on GWS. But best new recruit is obviously these women that have been brought into the side with plenty of experience. And I have gone with Tanya Hetherington, who Emma Swanson mentioned in our chat with her. And sort of Tanya, as you said, has played a coaching role at Diamond Creek for a long time. When she's been injured, obviously, helps out there. But watching her play in the VFLW finals, playing up back, just being instrumental in directing all those girls up back, and also just, dominating play, and her spoiling was amazing, incepts amazing. So I really see her bringing, a very sort of concrete role to the GWS, which I think they need up back.
She brings a real sense of calmness, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And you've gone for a little bit of international flavour.
Yes, I have gone for Cora Staunton. I've gone out on a limb here. The Irish Gaelic football legend. She's just won her sixth All-Irish title, which is equivalent to the grand final, with, I've completely forgotten the name of the team, starts with a C, but they're based in County Mayo. I do know that, in the northwest of Ireland. Cora is 36. Never played the game of Aussie rules in her life, but she's being earmarked as a key forward. Which I think will be, we spoke about Phoebe McWilliams earlier, something the GWS was really lacking was that second real target up forward. And I'd throw Maddie Boyd in that category as well. She came up from Carlton. Carlton, yes?
No,
the Dogs. Melbourne.
Melbourne.
I've gone through every team here. Apologies to Maddie. I know she plays for Geelong in the VFLW, but that's not what we were talking about. But, so adding some real support up there for Phoebe, it'll be interesting to see how Cora takes to the game. We've seen how well the Irish have gone to AFL.
Yeah.
That's more generally in the attacking half-back role as a massive generalisation there. Not so much as a key forward. Probably the last key forward we saw was Satanta O'Halfen.
That's a good
Carlton.
Name.
Yeah. Actually, did he play for GWS at one point? In their first season, possibly.
No idea. I'm so bad with, AFL players. AFLW, fine. AFL, that's a whole different story.
But, if I'm correct, Irish flavour is back at GWS, sorry.
And she could be... She'd be one of the first... Laura Dreyer was probably the first Irish player. So it's good to see more joining the ranks. As you said, like we see in the AFL, which is amazing. So I think best new recruits, it's very interesting to talk about two best new recruits who are, in their 30s and bringing that experience. And as we said, could be a touch of genius by Shiloh Curtis and GWS recruiting. And I definitely think I can see it having a big effect on the team.
Key position players as well. You can't undersell the value of that.
Exactly. And key position players who have experience and could, maybe move around if you need to to help out. But I think definitely two very good recruits. And we simply put it down to seeing GWS winning games for what we want to see, didn't we?
Yeah, Yeah, just a few more games from the Giants. Up next, we'll have our interview with Emma Swanson. Mm. And it was really interesting. She spoke about the feeling at the club as the season wore on. Mm. And how it was quite a tough year for them.
Yeah, it would have been very tough.
But it didn't necessarily relate on the field. Like, there are quite a few games where they seem quite enthusiastic.
Mm.
So, yeah, just to win a few more games, girls, we're all behind you.
Exactly. Win a few games. Show a bit more fight as well, I think we said.
Yep.
But we've got Emma Swanson now to sort of give us all of the lowdown on GWS coming in, all the changes that are happening, yep. The transitions.
New coach,
whole bunch of new players, and sort of what the feeling is going into AFLW 2.0. Thank you so much for joining us, Emma, on Credit to the Girls. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys going?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Very, very well, thank you. And we've thought it would be particularly interesting to talk to someone from GWS just because you guys have had so many changes over the course of just the ending of the first season and now. So what's it been like working with your new coach, Alan?
Yeah, well, like you said, like it certainly has changed a little bit. I guess the environment that we're in this year opposed to what we're in last year. And I guess I can kind of speak on the rest of the teams as well, that I think the professionalism has probably gone up and we've gotten over those teething problems. So I think the second year for everyone's looking pretty good. But for us in particular, we've got Al, who's come on board as the head coach, and he's obviously got a wealth of experience, and there's been a lot written about him and a lot of people know about him. And he's, I guess, joined the women's team and brought with him his X amount of years, 30-odd mm-hmm. years or 40 years of experience that he's got, and he's brought that to the women's side, which is really exciting.
Have there been any, like, real sort of changes that you've noticed that Alan's brought in? Like, are we going to see a different game style from you guys, or is it going to be more of the same just at a higher level, or how's it all working?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, like, I think he's brought the biggest thing that he's brought across, I think, is his leadership, and he cares about the people, and that's a really valuable thing to have in a group of girls who are trying something new. And we did it last year, but it's still fresh and it's still new, and there's still that anxiety around what season two is going to be like. So the leadership that he's brought to the group has been absolutely amazing. And in regards to game plan and game style and stuff, he's kept it relatively simple. He hasn't come in and expected us to know what the men's knows. Like a lot of us have only been playing footy for a handful of years. So he's kept it really simple. But, yeah, certainly probably the most valuable thing he's brought across is the fact that he is for the people, and he's really for us girls, and gives us a lot of time.
Yeah, great. And continuing on that theme of change, you guys have had a fair bit of turnover of players as well. Brought in some really experienced players from the state leagues who we in Melbourne may not know much about. They've sort of come from all over the place. Can you give us a bit of information about some of those girls who really stood out?
Yeah, so we have. It's really exciting. I love the environment here that we have, because we've got girls who are from WA, we've got South Australians, we've got girls from New South Wales, and we've got Victorians, and we're sort of a bit of a motley crew from everywhere, and it definitely makes us a lot closer. And a couple of the girls who certainly stood out to me, we've got Courtney Gum, who's originally a New South Wales girl, playing a footy in South Australia, and she's come in and seriously just slot straight into the team, and brings with her this sort of aura of leadership, and yeah, she's very experienced and just a really great person. And another one, Tanya Hetherington from down in Victoria. She's come up. She played for the Creakers last year, and she has done for 7 or 8 years, I think. And she's another one. She's almost come in, and it's almost like having another coach out on the field, having her down back and speaking to the girls. It's really great.
Yeah, it all sounds very, very positive.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's like a sort of a really great place to be, you know, maybe despite that the wooden spoon performance of last year. Is that how it feels at GWS?
Yeah, I think definitely this year, for me personally, I think I'm in the mindset now that we're not just here to play footy, we're here to win. And I think if enough of our groups this year has taken on that mindset to sort of
get everyone on board, and we're not here to make up the numbers. And drawing in round three last year, and you know the nail biting win over Melbourne, they're probably just not good enough. So yeah, definitely this year we're aiming to go better than what we did last year, and we're here to win.
Yeah, and you've got the perfect challenge coming up this weekend in a practice match up against the, well, they finished top of the ladder, the minor premiers, Brisbane Lions. How's that all shaping up?
Yeah, Brisbane are coming down, so yeah. That's exciting, and it's really good for us to get a game in before the start of the season. And the first, obviously, it's hard to play with each other when we're training because we're always playing against each other. So yeah. To have your group of girls who can actually put to practice what we've put forward what we've practiced for the last 5 months is really exciting. And they were obviously minor premiers last year, grand final team, and quite frankly pulled our pants down twice last year. So it's a really, really big challenge for us, and it's quite exciting around the club at the moment.
And then obviously first game against Melbourne at Casey, and last year that game, the first game that Melbourne played against Brisbane Lions, that time lightning strikes, thunder,
The works.
Do you feel a bit fearful or excited coming to Casey?
Definitely the round one excitement sort of tips off all the other emotions. But, looking back at that game that Melbourne played Brisbane there last year, and hearing some of the Victorians here saying that it can get quite breezy at Casey Field.
Mm. Yeah, that's possibly an understatement, Emma. It's pretty desolate sort of place.
Yeah.
So the environmental factors can play a bit of a part, but at the end of the day, I think round one, the nerves and excitement's there, and I think, you know, that takes the cake, really.
And sort of going into the season as well, I know you said, like, positive and stuff, and you guys have got the mindset to play to win. Is there a feeling of redemption as well, do you think?
Yes and no. I think without saying it, without vocally saying it around the group, no one wants to lose as many games as what we did last year, because it got to a stage throughout the season where it got really, really hard. Mm-hmm. It's a really hard, the footy club's a hard place to be around when you're not winning games of footy. So definitely subconsciously we all don't want to do that again. But we sort of, last year's been put in the past, and we've got new players, new faces, you know, fresh ideas around the club this year, and we're certainly sort of approaching it and attacking it, I guess, as, you know, this is who we want to be, and not really thinking too much about last year.
Mm, of course.
And, of course, last year you were recruited as one of the marquee players alongside Renee Forth, who unfortunately didn't take to the field for the whole season with that knee reconstruction. Are you looking forward to be able to play alongside your fellow star midfielder?
Yeah, 100%. She's moving quite well at the moment around the field, and I guess that leadership that she brings and a bit of experience, and she's quite an elusive player, so that's always exciting to just add another one of those players into the group, and she'll definitely bring us another degree of what we did have last year without her.
Mm, of course, and you know, I'm very excited to watch GWS play.
Yeah, there's room for, like, it's only up from here. It'll be great to see what happens.
Mm. Thank you so much for your time, Emma. We really, really appreciate it.
No,
really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me, guys.
So thank you so much to Emma and Ebony for their time and for talking to us. Always, you know, good chats, interesting chats as well. I think Emma was particularly
expansive.
Yeah.
I think, is it? Yeah.
It was good. It was good to sort of get an insight behind the scenes of GWS with all of that stuff going on. But with that, that's the end of the first instalment of Credit to the Girls. Thank you so much for joining us on our first ever episode.
Yeah.
It's been quite the journey.
It definitely has.
But it's been amazing. We've thoroughly enjoyed ourselves talking to some great players and recapping some teams. But obviously when you join us next time, we will do the final four teams, talk to a few more players or maybe some coaches from the teams we are recapping. But for now, find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, follow us, give us a like, you know, rate us, review us,
yep,
on iTunes and on Facebook.
Feedback is always welcome.
Exactly.
As long as it's positive. No, I'm joking. All feedback is wonderful. Yeah, hit us up with questions, comments, whatever.
What do you want to hear?
Yeah,
who do you want us to talk to?
Yeah.
Everything.
And just quickly before we go, we have got practice matches this weekend. AFLW is back, albeit in an official practice match setting. It kicks off Friday night. Collingwood and Melbourne are going to be playing at Olympic Park, Collingwood's home ground. So get there early. I think it's safe to say the tennis is on.
Oh, yeah.
And I was down there on Tuesday night and it was very busy in the area. Just with the tennis over the road.
Good
yes.
tip.
Carlton and Bulldogs will be making the trek up to Ballarat to play on Saturday night. Bulldogs are hosting at Mars Stadium, my favourite name of the stadiums all around Australia.
True.
GWS will be hosting Brisbane Lions at their own training facility, Westconnex Centre at Sydney Olympic Park. So Perfect. Two Olympic Parks, don't get them mixed up, they're in completely different cities. That's going to be on Saturday morning. And if you're in the top end, check out Adelaide and Fremantle. We'd love to have some top end listeners, actually.
Yeah, exactly. If you do end up going, if you're in the top end and you go, comment to us, send us something. We want to hear about it because it sounds, I love how, like.
Footy in Darwin's on my bucket list.
And, yeah, so many more sports are getting up there, which is amazing.
Yep.
It's so good. So thank you very much for joining us again on this first instalment. If you can, get down to a practice match and just take in some AFLW because it's so quick. It's around the corner, almost literally.
Yep. The season will fly through.
It'll fly through. It's coming fast. And we can't wait to spend it with you. Thanks again. We have been Sarah and Lucy, Credit to the Girls. We will see you next week.